Bobby and I were in the middle of a mobile match where we're getting trounced, and he's going,
nice spin.
Fuck. And I was like, well, we're getting our asses kicked. And he's like, no, these games that I'm watching are just so intense. That happened.
Hello, and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another DL Gaming episode. Back with the full crew. We got Chi.
Hey.
Chad.
What up, everybody?
Emilio.
Hello.
And myself, Bobby. All right. Everybody's back together again.
Do I sound a little bit deeper? Because I lost my voice last night. We went to the Chainsmokers concert that was at a private event in Universal Studios, which was awesome. I had never been to Universal Studios, so I ran some rides. Bringing it back to games, they like to do their rides where it's like you move around and they have screens at you, so you it's kind of like a video game a little bit.
This is your first time to Universal Studios?
Yeah, first time.
Oh, wow.
In your life?
In my life.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I was on that a couple years ago. I was actually chaperoning a field trip there, and one of the rides got stuck, the Transformers one, and we were sitting there for a good 10 minutes before anybody realized like that it had broke down, like any of the people that worked there, and finally someone came in. And we were there for like another 10 minutes on top of that.
You would think that it would be like red lights and flashing lights.
Yeah, you'd think so. I
mean, yeah.
Our
alarms.
Harry Potter did the same thing.
So but the it was worst only, thing that can happen, right?
It was only down for like 2 minutes, yeah. And the Harry Potter, like, and then it started moving without the screen being turned on. And I was like already a little drunk. So I was, because it was free alcohol and food there.
Yeah.
And so that was not fun.
I will recommend this, though. On Halloween, Universal has a really good
Halloween
event.
Horror Nights.
Yeah.
That's the first time I went to Universal Studios. Yeah. It was for that
those
event.
Those are a lot of fun. And you know how they do, though? It's like here we have Mission Trails and we have the Haunted House. It's like those haunted houses. You pay some money, you go in, people jump out and scream at you. But this is Hollywood, so they really do it up.
Yeah.
They got great actors, great prosthetics and makeup. They had like a Walking Dead one. They got different themed ones. Highly recommend it.
It was very true cool. Horror, quality horror.
My favorite was Transformers, by the way. That was fucking sick. That was awesome.
Nice. Is that one of the ones with the screen? And the chairs.
But I couldn't figure out how the chair was moving around, and you put the 3D glasses on and they were doing stuff flying at you, so you got the screen, the 3D effect, and the car, plus
that's
they're
really
like blowing
cool.
air at you at times.
Yeah,
and
that's
stuff.
How Star Wars was at Disneyland.
It was intense. It was
did
awesome.
You bring home any souvenirs?
I did not, because we didn't even get into the park until after it closed for everybody else, since it was like this prep. I don't know. This was a WeWork, which does like office space, rents office space. Anyways, they rented out all of Universal Studios, and then all the rides were free, all the all the food was free, all the drinks were free, and
Baller.
then they had a private Chainsmokers concert inside this theater that only had like maybe room for 500 to 1,000 people. It was just I couldn't believe how much money they must have spent on this thing.
Damn,
so
that's awesome!
It was
and
badass.
You got to experience that without. Without paying a dime or a penny.
Well, no. Actually, the tickets, we bought tickets. They gave all the WeWork employees free tickets, and then they had a set amount that they could give out to friends and family. And so we ended up buying them. It was only $45 a ticket, though. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Bad. Yeah, it was
yeah not bad.
It was so
that's
cheap.
Like, what, five lobsters in Mexico?
Yeah. So, anyways, that was.
The peso isn't worth anything, so everything's measured in lobsters now.
Yeah.
Ever since Trump took over.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, on the right side, you can get a car for about 500 lobsters.
Good deal. We're going to roll through some announcements real quick so we can get right to games. We still have t-shirts on sale on the website, dlgaming.net.
And can we put a different picture?
This week, yeah, if you guys give me another picture,
okay.
I can put a different picture on there.
I have plenty of
it's
pictures.
It's painful for me.
Okay.
It's painful, physically painful to go to the website.
I wonder why we haven't sold a t-shirt.
Yeah.
We're also looking for a t-shirt model, too, so shout us out if you have those services available.
We should all wear same t-shirt during recording. And
we'll have a contest.
Photo.
Everyone who buys one, take a picture with it on. If we pick you as your model, we will give you your money back.
Yeah.
So everybody has to buy one, though.
Cool. I like that plan.
All right. We're going to try to get a game day going every week, be it Saturday or Sunday, or maybe even Friday. I don't know. The weekends are the best days for me, but we're trying to get like one day out of the week where we all play something. The DL Gaming crew, the listeners, just everybody gets together, finds a game that we can all play. We kind of had that going today. On Sunday, we had a lot of people playing
Battleborn, right?
Yeah, which we'll talk about later. And I played a little bit of Vermintide. A lot of people are on the weekends, especially Sunday, I'm noticing. And they're looking to game. So check out our Discord. It's a great place to find people to game with.
We all know I'll be leading the Overwatch weekly gaming event.
And if like Bobby said, our Discord is a great place to connect with other gamers that are interested in playing with you. So I highly encourage you, if you haven't, to jump on there and feel free to
That link is also on our website, too, dlgaming.net. All right, let's talk about games.
Sweet, let's do it.
Are we going to do...
Yeah,
we have something for On the Radar?
For some reason, I thought you were going to jump past it.
Okay.
I was cutting you off before you could be cut off.
Anyways, On the Radar.
Yeah, On the Radar, Sanctus Reach.
Which is a Warhammer 40K game.
Yep.
Which, it's amazing that any of these... get on the radar, because there's so many of them.
Yeah, seriously.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that scene in Aliens where it's like they're coming at us, sir, and there's movement. It's not us.
What's the company that
Games Workshop?
Games Workshop must have somebody got changed in the
company. At some point, somebody must say it can't hurt us to just license much as possible. That's what my imaginary president. You know, he's smoking a big cigar. He's like, just give it all to everybody. It doesn't matter.
So has there been a 40K RTS? Because that's what this is, right?
Yes, turn-based? I played Vermintide.
Is this a small-scale one or a large-scale? This looks small-scale.
Let's say why this is, at least to me, and why it seems to be exciting for other people. This looks like you can play the tabletop without buying the troops.
Okay, so it's a full-on like tabletop style
game. That's what it looks like, yeah. Okay. And I believe those are sets that I've seen people play. It's very similar. So it's turn-based, if I were to guess.
It is turn-based.
Yeah,
that's what
turn-based,
it says.
And it's the whole thing where you get a set amount of points and you build an army. It's everything I've ever wanted to be, but never pulled that nerd trigger, because it's like...
So expensive,
at least
the models.
$300 to even get
so
started.
Expensive.
That's without painting your troops.
Oh my goodness, I can see it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's actually out now. It's $30. Is anybody interested in getting that?
For $30, I don't know. My plate's pretty full. When it says very, very positive, Bobby, what's the percentage there?
Very positive. Well, that's out of 101 reviews.
Yeah, that's why
so
I'm asking
that's
for
really
you
not
to
a
have
whole over. Lot to go over or a whole lot to go off of. I'm trying to click over it and see what it is. 86%.
Yeah. Okay. See, when Chad said RTS, I was thinking, okay, StarCraft, some type of...
That's what I thought first, too, yeah.
Yeah, but then when you said it's tabletop, so it's TBS. Warhammer grid-style strategy game.
Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'd be interested. I'd like to see how accurate it is to the rule book, because these... games tend to be very rule book heavy, and you got to know all these intricate rules. So I'm wondering to see how for new gamers like me, if it has a dumbed down version or an easier one for new players to understand.
This is what I thought I was buying when I bought.
What was that one?
It's kind of like Vermintide, but it was a turn based.
Yeah, but it was based in the Warhammer, not Warhammer 40K, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you talking
exactly.
about Dawn of War?
No.
No.
It was some like one that was trying to imitate the tabletop also, but in the Warhammer universe.
And it did it like in a third person perspective. It was definitely if you take one look at it, it looks like people playing a tabletop, but better, obviously.
With animations.
With animations. So yeah, I'm excited about it. I would say it's already on my wish list. So if anybody
you should probably
out there
turn
is awesome.
Off Discord on your phone though, because it looks like you're talking on there as well. I can see you lighting up.
Oh yeah, that's probably a good idea.
I think I might be able to mute you here. I don't know. This is a game that I feel like I should give a shot, but I have never played any of these Warhammer tabletop type games, and I'm not really familiar with the lore, so it doesn't really appeal to me. But
and it's not
everyone
hots.
Else says it's good. Yeah, I mean, it's not hots. That's throw a little hots in there. Might be good.
I gotcha.
I think I got you muted.
Bobby, were you ever in a place where people were playing this?
Warhammer? No, I've never actually seen this played, but I've known a couple people who are really into it. I know it's a very expensive game, but nah, never really did much tabletop.
I think when you're playing Magic the Gathering, see, when you were playing the Star Wars TCG, that's when you would have saw this, I think.
Yeah.
And so when we were, the only reason I played Magic, I thought, is because I couldn't afford this.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's why this is exciting for me.
I had a buddy in elementary school who had an army, and I would go over to his house and just, like, mess with the figurines because I couldn't afford one of the guys, and he had a full-on army. I was always amazed by that. I thought he was my rich friend.
I would be interested in trying this because tabletop strategy is something that I've never really done outside of... Well, I did do some D&D and whatnot, but I've seen people play this game or like when I go to the game store and purchase something,
Right?
Yeah, it does look
it
really
like
cool.
They're having a war.
But yeah, that's a whole new level of nerddom for me. But the game itself, I think it would be fun to play this game and kind of really see what it's all about. Because normally when you see that, it's intimidating. Like you said, that's why you stuck with Magic.
Yeah. I would this would be a good, and that's it. Over and over.
This would be a good window into tabletop.
Yeah, I agree. I agree for sure. So, again, that's Warhammer 40K Sanctus Reach is the game we're talking about.
Cool. Next up, Everspace. I am very excited to talk about this game. I played probably 5 hours of this now.
Okay.
I heard people on the PC Gamer podcast talking about it, and actually it was one of the developers of a game called BitTunes, Big, I don't know, some sort of RTS that's crazy. It's by the guys who made...
You have all the answers.
Yeah.
Just spitting them out.
What's Hattie's from? What's Hattie from?
Straight Fire.
Behemoth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they made a RTS with like all these crazy characters, like Behemoth characters, and it sounds like it's really fun. But meanwhile, he said that he was playing this the most, and he described it as Binding of Isaac and FTL in one. So I was like, what? Bought. So I ran over and bought it.
It looks badass.
It's beautiful, first of all. There's been a couple times where I jump into a sector and I under my own breath was like, just in awe, just like, wow, this looks awesome. And you never know what you're going to get. It's kind of like in that aspect that it is like Binding of Isaac. Mm. When you are playing a sectored world, it's like Super Mario where you go 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, 1-4.
Okay.
And then you go 2-1, 2-2. But those things are never alike. And so
it is like Binding of Isaac where you're in the first level and the second level.
Yeah.
You know, there's seven levels, but you don't know what's
inside of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do know that there's only four rooms in Binding of Isaac. You don't know how many rooms there are, because it is a little like FTL. It's a lot less like FTL, where you're not really getting these story jumps every time you make a jump to the next sector. Anyway, let me explain what happens to you when you get to a new sector. You jump in, you see what's around you, and you have about 2 seconds to figure out if it's going to be hostile and you can handle it, if it's going to be neutral, or is it just a total question mark. So you get there. Sometimes there'll be a hyper light stopping like device, and you have to go kill it before you can jump away. So you know that that's the first thing you have to go do. Or you get somewhere and there's just goodies everywhere. And it doesn't matter what you do. You only have 2 to maybe 8 minutes at the top to do everything you need to do in this section, because people are chasing you like FTL. And they're going to start warping in right behind you. And
gotcha.
And it's not instant death. You can like fend them off for a little bit. They come in waves and the waves get bigger. But most of the time, you're already banged up from just the everyday events. Now, you're gaining credits while you're doing this. There's credits floating around. You can mine. You can do all these things. But again, you got 2 to 8 minutes. And it's just like all about how you're spending your time. There's this mining operation that's in almost every sector. And if you fuck with them, they'll fuck with you. But otherwise, they're neutral. Now, a fast way to get rich is to rob them and take off. But they alert the people in the next sector that you're under the radar. And so you're already in trouble when you show up.
Oh, gotcha.
So there's all these things going on.
But when you're saying loot and credits and stuff, what are you doing with that? Where's the roguelike or
so
where
when
the
you die,
Isaac?
You go back to the hangar and you can buy permanent upgrades.
Okay.
So like a thicker hull, stronger weapon, more crit chance, okay. Stuff like that. Now, I have a strong feeling that more ships are coming. I don't know if those upgrades...
Because it's still early access you're talking about?
Yeah. No. I mean, like, once I progress, there'll be other ships.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. I didn't even mention what it is. This is either a first-person or a third-person spacefaring game. But it's very action-oriented. And I don't know why games get the control so crazy. Like, what is it? What's the one where they just found the aliens?
Oh, yeah. What's that one? Rogue Galaxy? No.
Elite Dangerous.
But Chad bought a goddamn flight stick, and he still couldn't fucking play the game.
But you're... this is flying like... This is just basically six directions or whatever. It doesn't have the other directions.
No.
You can't skate this way. You can't skate sideways.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, it's straight. But somehow they made it all work.
Oh.
You can... You all... Cool. Every 16 directions or whatever it is.
So you can just...
You can do them all.
Raise up or drop down.
I think they call those six DOF, 6 degrees of freedom.
Yeah, exactly.
Game. Sure. Yeah, you have all of that. And
you're doing this on mouse and keyboard?
Yeah. But you can play on the controller if you want.
Or the joystick.
Well. Yeah. And the other thing you can do while you're playing, it's great because you can go to the hangar when you die and build yourself up, but also when you're out in the field, you can take all these resources and build things that you need, but you have to decide, do I want this or this more? Is it more important to heal myself, or is it more important to get another scanning node?
Oh,
and
gotcha.
All of I get confused easily with games that burden you down with a bunch of stuff. Somehow this game has a bunch of stuff, but I just got it. It just clicked. It's all intuitive. Right away, within a couple of seconds, I knew what every single thing was worth.
Okay.
And then also on top of that, it's pretty easy. I have Gatling gun. You start with Gatling gun. Here's a Gatling gun plus. Well, obviously that's way better.
Okay. And yeah.
When you, just to tell you how everything's so dumbed down and streamlined, you go up to something that says you don't have room in your inventory. So you click on it and then it automatically brings up a comparison between what you have equipped and what the one that you just found. Now, at that point, there's only two buttons, or three. Jettison it, scrap it for parts, or swap it with the one you have.
Yeah.
It's so easy. Like, games just make it so hard to do simple, simple things. So this game has it all, guys. It's except for maybe story. The only story, I would say, is your AI. That's kind of snarky. He's kind of like, he doesn't care if you live or die. And he just...
Because you keep coming back to life.
Yeah, you keep... And they kind of play into that too. Because your guy... Maybe the thing that I don't like the most is your voice. He's very like, what's going on? Like very...
Over the top.
And so when you spawn again, sometimes he'll be like, this time I'm going to get it. And then the AI will be something like, sure you will, sir. Something like that.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
So there's this dynamic going on there, but that's about it. He keeps teasing that there's a story that you have to keep going. Hey, are you going to get it this time? Come on, you've tried enough. There's that thing that we're trying to get to, but he won't tell you what it is. And when you load into the game every time, it'll tell you that this is an early access and there's more coming, and here are the things that we plan. And I don't really like getting heavy into games when they're not done.
Yeah.
But I am heavy into this game, and I will probably continue to be heavy into this game.
Looks awesome.
Yeah. I really like this because from what I can see and from what I've heard about it, for me, I understand why it's like Binding of Isaac, like FTL. But when you mention those games, I'm thinking, okay, you have a box and you have a person moving in the box and defeating all the enemies. This isn't a box here. We're talking about deep space, beautiful colors, giant ships. It's like jumping into
it
the
looks
pilot
like
seat
No Man's
of
Sky,
a Battlestar Galactica or Ender's Game or Star Wars. And
Wing
if you're
Commander.
A fighter pilot, you're thrown in the midst and you just got to make it through, you know, like just by the skin of your teeth and decisions on the fly.
You just made me realize that this is what I've been bitching about forever. This is my AAA graphics roguelike.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
It is.
And I've been bitching about this for like 2 years and here it is. And it plays great. Had it been this, but it had really hard controls or was not easily accessible, I would have had problems with it. But it has everything. It has everything going for it.
I do wonder how long the staying power of it will be. It won't have a tail like Binding of Isaac for you because with permanent upgrades, eventually you'll just hit the limit, right? Like, Binding of Isaac's, the loop pinata aspect of Binding of Isaac is what drives you on, right? To find new combinations and stuff like that. This doesn't seem to have that.
Because you mean the permanent stats that you get? Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. But even with that aspect, it's totally worth it. I paid like $27 on G2A, maybe $23. Okay. I don't remember.
So is there even an ending to Everspace? Like, is there a boss you fight at the end?
I can't get there. I'll let you know when I get there. I think I made it to the third sector once, and it looks like there's 5 or 7 sectors. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. That's great. So that's something I look forward to, more stuff about Everspace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
All right. What should we talk about next?
Bobby, we haven't heard you in a little bit. Why don't you talk a little bit on what you got going on?
I'll talk a little bit about Battle Brothers, a game that I started playing. It is in early access, a turn-based strategy game with combat. Chad, you played a little bit of this too, so maybe you can jump in. I've really just started into this game. I played 3 hours, 4 hours, and for a game like this, that's not a whole lot. It is in early access, so it kind of feels undone to me, but it looks like they're taking very specific attention to detail to the whole turn-based strategy game that you can equip, like you can do, I don't know. Really, the game didn't stand out to me all that much because you can do everything in this game that you can do in any other turn-based strategy game.
I've been liking, what's the game that you were on islands and then when you got into the islands, you could do different things? Maybe I was the only one that played it.
No, I played it too.
You know what I'm talking about? It reminded me of that game a lot. And I'm actually liking Battle Brothers a lot. It kind of reminds me of, I don't want to say of Darkest
Saga.
Which one?
The Banner Saga.
A little bit, yeah. I don't want to say Darkest Dungeon. It kind of reminded me of Darkest Dungeon where you go into town, you get your stuff done, and then you go out on your quest or whatever to get stuff done. Mm-hmm. In that aspect, it reminded me of...
The game is primarily turn-based combat, and that's what it really focuses on. And if you like that kind of stuff, which I do... then you'll probably enjoy it. And there's a dozen different ways that you can outfit your guys with different weapons, different types of armor that each have their ups and downs to them, and then different enemies that you face. And then you have like a whole perk system to it. So it's pretty involved.
Yeah, level up, individual characters level up and everything. This is a game that FigSec recommended, one of our listeners, and I poo-pooed it because the graphics didn't look very good and it didn't look...
Your characters that you play look like... What are those dolls that have a little doll inside them?
Nesting doll. Like a Russian nesting doll.
Yeah, someone made a whole game about that. It was a...
yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, what was that game? It was by that one company that makes all those Nest Cube games.
No, I forget what it's called. It was from Double Fine, right?
Yeah, Double Fine. It was a Double Fine game. But I don't know. I really want to come back next week and talk more about this because I feel like I haven't played it enough to really have an accurate opinion. But
I really like it. I think I like it more than Bobby does because Bobby's saying it's like any other turn-based one. Mm-hmm. And I agree with that, but it does everything right. Like, there was nothing wrong.
Yeah.
It was cool. The different weapons you equip give you different abilities, and they're actually useful. It's not always... Because every time they give me all abilities, and all I do is go in there and do the attack ability. And this game... I went up against a guy that had a shield. His shield was on, and I tried to shoot a crossbow in it, and it blocked off the shield. So the next guy that faced the dude had an axe, and one of his abilities is
shield split.
And so I did that. He lost his shield, and then I ended up killing him by arrows. I don't know. It was just really interesting. It's got this own kind of... style of art to it, and don't be put off by the art like I did. Even the art isn't to write home about, but it's got its own little style that I kind of is growing on me.
Looks like Don't Starve to me
a little bit. And when you kill somebody, their like head pops off and falls to the ground. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of like
it's a little cartoony, but the mechanics are there. Like, I think this game is designed extremely well, and it's designed for people who are really into turn-based combat. And it's not like a grid, like Shadowrun.
It's hexagonal, right?
It's hexagonal. Yeah, so you can move in different directions. It's always kind of weird when you play a turn-based combat game and there's only squares. So it's like it costs me two turns just to go diagonal. I always found that odd.
Yeah, agreed.
But this game, I think I would have really appreciated this game at a different point in time, because when I played the Shadowrun games, which are really good, but by the time I got to the second one, I was so sick of the story and all I wanted to do was the combat. And you have to go through so much text dialogue in Shadowrun that it can be a little much, especially after playing them back to back. So this game, it does have a story, it does have text dialogue, and it's very small. Remember when we played Banished and the text was so like small on screen? That's kind of how it is in this game too, especially on a 1440p monitor. Like,
and you can't change the text size that you can find.
I don't believe there's an option.
Maybe it's early access. It's still early
there's
access.
There's very few video options and graphical options.
I agree with you that it does have a lot of text, but it was just one wall of text, and then I push OK and get to move on.
It was a couple paragraphs.
And I like that.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of dialogue between you and your men, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's not like you keep hitting that button, like, and everyone just keeps on talking. Yeah.
And this game also reminds me of some other games, because it's got this hire mechanic where you get to hire your members, and you got to feed them and do all this, and then they die, and when they die, they're gone, and you got to hire more guys. Mm-hmm. And you have to go into town, and you get options on which guy you want to hire, and sometimes there's not anybody you want to hire and stuff like that. And they have got different perks based on what person they are. If they're a merchant or a merchant's guard versus a farmer, they've got different.
Like
it was.
Well, they could have positive and negative attributes.
Yeah, for sure.
That kind of reminds me of Suikoden.
Yeah.
It's probably the first turn-based RPG where you went out and you recruited more people than you actually needed. I remember playing RPG. Well, my first impression of RPGs, you have your group of four or five people. But when Suikoden came out, you had this army, and you got to personalize your troop that you went in and fought against. With this one here, and going back to what you mentioned earlier, Chad, their abilities are useful, and you have to be tactful in different ways depending on what the enemies had up against you. So it's a type of fighting style where you are constantly trying new things versus being stagnant and what, you know, this method works, so let's just stick it through the very end.
Yeah.
It's really neat.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm not very far anyway, so I'm definitely going to be playing this week, so maybe I'll provide more insight next week.
One big difference between this and Banner Saga, though, Banner Saga is a lot more linear. You go from point A to point B, work your way across the map, and take those fights, and that's about it. I think there are some areas where you can go different routes, but this game, they advertise it as open world, and I've already got kind of a feel for that, even though I haven't gotten far into the game. But you don't have to go to certain areas, and you don't have to do certain things. You can just go off the trail and go into the forest and pick your own fights with anybody, and you can generate loot or gear, or, you know, kind of better yourself that way rather than doing it the traditional route. So there's a lot to this game.
Yeah, for sure.
I was trying to find that game that was like this, dude, and I'm going through my Steam library, and the only you can only go by things in your library and wish list. So, and then list them by hours played.
Yeah.
So it would have been impossible. I played maybe an hour of it.
Yeah, if you guys remember what game that is, let me know. It was a game where it was turn-based strategy, but you went from island to island, and you had a ship, right?
Yeah.
You controlled your ship, and you went from island to island.
So other than that one game that we can't think of, what other games does this remind you of?
I don't know, like any other turn-based strategy game out there. I've compared it to Banner Saga, Shadowrun, XCOM. I'd say it mostly reminds me of Banner Saga in ways. But
It's true.
I hate comparing games to other games, though. Like, I try to think of original ways to define a game. But it is, I think it's a lot more, if you are like, turn-based combat is my thing, then I think this game is one of the more pure forms of it.
Okay.
What's Future Fight, Bobby? All right, Chad.
Okay. This will be 2 minutes or less. By the way, this is a mobile game. by the way, Skydiver Skydiver, one of our listeners on our Steam group said he liked that I talk about mobile games, and he finds it interesting.
Well, one of our other listeners came up with a Mobile Corner song.
Did he?
No way.
Yeah. I added all of you guys.
It's on the drive, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I'll have to look at it.
It's pretty good.
Holy shit, that's funny. Anyways, this is going to be 2 minutes because this is exactly like every other fucking game that I'm finding on mobile. It's a Marvel game. It's the kind of style where you are running around, and then when you get close to somebody, you can attack or do specials or whatever. But it's like everything else that's like there. You get your daily bonus and stuff, but they're just throwing shit at me. They gave me a 6-star guy right off the bat, and you have to work to get 6 stars. Don't give me the best thing right off the bat. I have nothing to work towards. Anyways, I'm not interested in the game. I'm over it.
All right. Well, fuck Future Fight.
Yeah, fuck Future Fight.
No future,
but Skydiver did recommend one for me this week, so I will be reviewing the one that he requested next week. So,
cool. Battleborn, we got into it today with some other players, and I had heard that it was going to be really good. I can't say how great it is really because I didn't buy all the DLCs. I had this game from when Chad bought it for me originally. So, but that game, you can get it for $7.50 now, Bobby?
$7.50 on Humble Store, or you can get the DLC Deluxe Edition with a bunch of skins in the base game for $18.75.
Yep. I think you played longer than I did, Bobby. What did you think?
I actually really liked Battleborn. I think I liked it better than Paragon. Here's the problem. I played the story mode, and we did a bit of that, too. The first time I played this game, Battleborn, I played the story mode. Nothing interesting there. Then we played the story mode, and still I was just kind of like not really feeling it. Some people have told us that the best part about this game is the cooperative raid mode, where it's kind of like a WoW or kind
it's
of
like five
operations.
Operations is what
it's called.
Which I assume is like Warframe or Destiny, where it's like a WoW raid where you're getting loot. But really, for me, the best part about this game was the PvP mode. And it's kind of like when we played Gears of War 4. We played through the campaign. It was kind of like, all right, this is okay. And then we got to the Wave Survival, and I was like, holy shit, we got a game here. This is looking good.
Yeah. But
exact same thing with Battleborn. Once we played the PvP, I was like, all right, perfect. This is exactly what I wanted. It reminds me of Super Monday Night Combat. Like, I know I just said I don't like to compare other games.
That's what we're here for, to compare things.
It's really the only way we have to discuss other games. It's like, and I think what I hate about it is when advertisers do it, it's like this and like that. It's the Dark Souls of its genre.
You can't fucking give them any credit, but you can believe in us, guys.
Yeah,
our analogies.
It's called an elevator pitch in marketing terms. Like, mm-hmm. Explain something in 30 seconds.
Yeah,
you have to compare it to things. That's the best way to get
your
point across.
Things. Yeah, mm-hmm. But we aren't trying to sell anything.
Yeah,
but I will sell you on Battleborn here. It's a good game. It's like Super Monday Night Combat. We had a real tough time with it when we were playing PvP because we were all new players. And then when Fastidious, the most seasoned player of us in the group, left, we played one more game and we just got slaughtered. It was terrible. We did picks and bans like a standard MOBA, and we had no idea what we were doing. I kept sticking with a character who I don't think was very good, but I kind of knew him. He played like Soldier 76, just basic with a rifle and launching grenades.
I forget that guy's name.
And it's... his name was Whiskey Foxtrot.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But the characters are very colorful. They all have their own unique... when they create characters in a video game, they always talk about the silhouette. Like, you should be able to recognize a character if you just see him, like, if you were all black and you just see his silhouette, like, they've got to be distinguishable. And that makes them more unique, but also makes it better during a PvP because you recognize them in an instant. You can play TF2 mm-hmm. and go, that's a heavy, that's a medic, that's a demo man. It just makes them very distinguishable. Games that don't do this so well, like Brink, like everybody kind of looks the same on that game, so it makes it very difficult. But this
or
game,
tactical shooters, even though you
tactical
get like,
shooters,
yeah, when you're playing like
Siege Six,
yeah, and you have your shield guy and you're all everybody.
But some of those games are going for like ultra realism,
yeah, for sure.
And that's sorry, all there
no you're not getting that added benefit.
Yeah,
retract that.
What's
statement.
Up?
He said tactical shooters. And I'm like, Counter-Strike, oh, wait, yeah. there's no individuality.
But Counter-Strike is the same way,
yeah. Well, this is, the PvP mode is basically a MOBA where you're pushing lanes and you're shooting minions. And, of course, everyone's instinct is to try to shoot the other players when they should be pushing lanes and getting objectives. So
that's me.
It's very difficult to get the new players to focus on that. And if you've never played a MOBA before, it's difficult. But it's a Paragon, I don't know. Paragon does not rely, it's less of a first-person shooter and more of a MOBA. This game has more first-person shooter elements.
Yeah, okay, to it. I would agree with that.
Yeah. Was it just me, or did the melee guys seem incredibly overpowered in that game? They were just slaughtering me late
in game. In Battleborn?
Yeah.
That's how I felt it was previously to it. Like, range guys didn't have enough ways to escape, and melee guys could just get on you and just own you.
Yeah,
I think you're supposed to have your turrets up, and they're supposed to protect you from melee guys, but... There's
probably
a
lot of mistakes that we were making.
Yeah.
But there is an upgrade system, so you can go into matches and have an advantage over people. You can gear up your character in such a way that gives him more damage, more movement speed, more cooldown reduction if they're big on abilities. And there are probably characters that counter other characters, and you know, but you have to have tanks and healers and damage, ranged or melee.
Fastidious is agreeing with you guys. He says that there was a lot of overextension when you guys were playing, but which happens in MOBAs, and then you get your ass beat.
I'm smiling. Like, as soon as I saw that, I just started smiling because I'm thinking of, like, most MOBA experience where that it's natural instinct to want to go for the glory,
go for the
instant
kill.
Gratification.
It's like rolling a ball past a cat. Like they can't stop
exactly.
themselves. Even if that ball goes into a blender, the cat's going to jump at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had this problem when I started playing Super Monday Night Combat because I went into that game and I'm like, this is a first-person shooter. I'm just going to shoot the enemies. I've been doing this all my life. And it was the first time ever playing a MOBA, so I didn't really understand. Like, this is a much slower-paced game. You have to be much more strategic, and you have to, you know, think about the objectives and the map in addition to trying to get kills. And then I became a lot more successful at those types of games. But the one problem I did have with this game, and it's not even the game's fault, but nobody's playing it. There was two games back-to-back where we got paired with the exact same people, and there's just not a big player base there. And it makes it really difficult for matchmaking because we were going up against people who were way better than us, obviously knew the game much better than us.
And we saw the same people twice or three times.
Yeah.
So I think the player pool is very small.
And we talked about that. We remember Battleborn Day. The player base is trying to get more people
I don't think that's really going to happen until they go free to play, or I don't know. I don't see any other answer to that.
It's not free to play yet?
No.
Oh.
I do disagree with Bobby. I thought the story mode was pretty cool. I would like to play it all through with somebody.
Yeah, I'm down to play more of the dungeon raid versions.
Yeah, that's called Operations. Part of one of the DLCs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy how much more expensive the season pass or the DLC is compared to the actual base game.
Yeah.
But it's a strategy, and it's a valid one. You know, I feel like you're getting more than you are out of a free-to-play game. I'd rather play $750 or Future Fight for
fuck
free.
Future Fight.
I'd rather not fuck Future Fight for free than fuck Battleborn for $750.
Well, yeah. If they did make this game Battleborn free to play, then do you think they would change the way that all that stuff's handled? You think they'd have more microtransactions?
Well, they already have multiple currencies. They have tons of currencies.
Mm-hmm. And you can flat out buy them. You can just give them money and buy the currency. Yeah.
I'm just wondering if they made it free but left the season pass around. Do you think that's would be a strategy that would work?
I think so. You get people into the game.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
The season pass, I mean, I really don't know what it contains, but the base game is a lot of content.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can, out of all the characters that they have, you have access to all of them except four without the season pass. So, I mean, it's you can get a good portion of the game without paying that much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fastidious raises a good point about it being a console game also, and maybe that screws with the pricing. It's harder to go free-to-play when you got console stuff to worry about.
And Flying Hawaiian is right. Like, all the enemy types are so... It's the exact same thing. You just hit them with everything until they die. But the bosses that I did fight were You just kind of have to like dig through all these monsters to get to the bosses, and the boss was interesting.
But that's why I kept comparing it to Five Man's when we compared it a long time ago, because like it's just trash until you get to the boss, and then you get have to have these strategies to develop to get to get through the bosses, and that's what I love.
That is fun, though. I don't know.
I love that part.
I love the PvP. I like real people on the other end.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah.
But then we got trounced six times in a row, and that doesn't feel good for anybody.
Yeah. Well, you know, especially when you're doing the deeps, dude. I don't know what you guys are doing. I was hitting tab, and I was just like, my number, like fucking six digits up there.
That's why when your carry quits, you quit too. Yeah. It's a sound advice.
Yep.
I will say this, though. This game got the worst rap ever compared to Overwatch. It is nothing like Overwatch. And that's the first thing. When we mentioned this to a few other people when we were about to play, they're like, oh, yeah, that's like that Overwatch. It's like Overwatch, but not as good. And that couldn't be further from the truth. It is nothing like Overwatch. If anything, like I said at the very beginning, Super Monday Night Combat. And we all know how I feel about that game.
Yeah.
After we played, Bobby, I went into the dojo where you get to practice against robots. Mm-hmm. And I played a lot of the characters, and a lot of them are just, like, fucking total poop. I like a lot of them. I mean, I just didn't feel like they were fun, or I didn't feel like I was powerful, and I didn't feel like a superhero or any of this. It just felt like I'm just not that great. Some of them are really cool. The original ones are really cool. Some of these other ones that are coming out, I don't know. In Overwatch, I feel like everybody's so cool and has so much character.
Well, that's how the game is designed, for everybody to feel special.
So,
I think it felt flat.
I'm hearing both a lot of positives and negatives. At the end of the day, would you guys recommend Battleborn
for $750? How about with
but
the
not
DLC?
The season pass?
I don't know. I don't have it. I didn't want to pull the trigger on $20.
Yeah, I think it's a great game. I would buy the season pass if this were something that we were going to play again and with more listeners. Like we were talking earlier in the show about getting more people, like having that day where we all play games. Like if this was something that was on the table for everybody to play, like I would check this out. I would like to get back into it. It's always frustrating starting a game like this in the PvP mode, and you're like, I don't know. It's frustrating, and it's also exhilarating because you're like, I know I can do better at this, and I know it's going to take time. I just got to like keep practicing, and I will get better. I mean, that's why those games are so addictive, like these MOBAs, because there's so much room for improvement.
But here's the thing. Like, if I were to dig down deep and get really good at this game, the player base doesn't – I'd be at the middle level of a very small pile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need to go free to play is basically what it comes down to.
Yeah, do the what was the game that went free to play, trying to increase its player base with the monsters and stuff? We all played it.
Evolve.
Yeah, go the Evolve route.
Is that still around? People playing that one?
I don't know. There's been.
Didn't I hear that didn't we cover that the servers went off on? Or
maybe
I don't know.
We haven't seen it around.
I think it just went free to play for a week. Do you salvage something or anything at all? Yeah.
That game crashed and burned over a couple of years. Like, it was just...
Yeah.
Maybe it's like Left 4 Dead, where there's still a small but consistent community. Who knows?
Yeah.
I was on the hype train for that one.
You're on the hype train for every single one. Goddamn. Yeah. We know this.
What's Resident Evil 7 demo? That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. This is where I get to shine. And if I just suddenly stop talking, it's because I'm going in a big coughing fit. I am not feeling good, and you know it's. I'm just glad I made it to the recording, and I have a voice to talk. This past couple of weeks, since I missed the last recording, I beat two games, guys, and well, one demo and one game. And this is huge for me because on January 24th, they are releasing Resident Evil 7.
Nice. A logo for Resident Evil 7 is badass, by the way. I don't know if you guys noticed that. The 7 is written into the
word evil. Yes. So if you guys are Resident Evil fans such as myself, I've virtually played almost every single one. Dabbled, not beaten all of them, but dabbled. And the last staple Resident Evil I've played was Resident Evil 4 and was amazed. Top five games ever played of all time. When it comes to Resident Evil 7, it took a very refreshing turn. For me, I was anticipating some crap, you know, just continuation of what the Resident Evil series has been, exception of 4. But 5 and 6 did very little to appeal to what I felt Resident Evil was. This one here, it's a completely new leaf. So much to the element where it doesn't necessarily feel like Resident Evil. You almost feel like it's Outlast. but you can actually fight back. So it's Resident Evil merged with Outlast in terms of the horror element. With the Resident Evil 7 demo, I recommend everybody try it out, by the way. It's free on Steam, and when you beat the demo in a certain way, you can actually unlock a coin that can transfer to the game when it is released. Mm. With the Resident Evil 7, from what I understand, it's mostly played within one home. If you've seen the trailer, you are the... I don't know if you're the cameraman, but there's three people that go into this home, and I don't want to spoil too much, but essentially you go into a home where a family goes missing, and you try to unravel the mystery of the horrors behind what could be happening in this home.
You feel like they're going back to the roots a little bit?
Yeah, because that reminds me of
home.
Yeah, Resident Evil 1, right? Wasn't that?
Yeah, where it was the giant mansion.
Yeah,
A little bit in the roots of the horror element, but this one here, there's jump scares, there's creepy children laughing.
I'm out.
I think it was a wrench or a cable cutter from the corpse of a dead cow, and then out of nowhere, literally nowhere, I rechecked the replay. Plastic baby doll falls from this right in front of my face just for the sheer jump scare element. No logic whatsoever.
No logic at all.
And the baby comes out and it literally scares.
What is logical to scare you while you're playing a horror game?
Yeah, exactly.
In that facet.
But it's beautiful graphics. Legitimately, I played through the demo and I died a couple times. There's like three bad endings, one good ending, and you don't die just because you get attacked and then you lose all your health points. There are different ways. I think there are different ways to just lose at this game. I got hit and then I was infected and I couldn't get out in time. Or when I was trying to get out, I just lost myself to the infection and died. But what's crazy too is that in order to get the coin, you have to go through a series of riddles, and it was completely impossible to go through the game and unlock everything unless you looked up the sequence of events that you had to do. It was basically like pick up this item and then walk to this one corner, flash, point a finger at it, you know, through, do a 1080, 360, no
score. Do the hokey pokey.
Yeah, and turn yourself around. And then all of a sudden it...
How are you supposed to know all this?
Something. I'm sorry?
How are you supposed to know all this?
You just
figured it out, trial and error?
I Googled it. I don't know. This is a Japanese-made game, after all. I don't know how the original person did it. Yeah. It just ended up somewhere in,
so, scared as
in
fuck
the world.
Or
scary as fuck. Yeah.
I'm out.
In a good way?
In a really good
day one
way.
Versus for you think?
Actually, I do want to buy the game, but I would never play it alone.
This would be a great game to stream.
Actually, yeah, and I did stream the entire demo, so if you want to check out the replay, just go to my Twitch page, twitch.tv/smoochi, S-M-O-O-X-C-H-I. I invited Max to play it with me.
Oh, nice.
So we actually beat the demo together. We swap places every now and then.
Did you turn the lights off?
Yes, we did. Somebody told us to turn the lights off, and therefore we turned the lights off. It's horrific. It's very graphic. One of the most graphic portions of the game, you walk into this bathroom, and the toilet is clogged. Yeah, spoilers, sorry. It's clogged with blood. And then you look at the
bathtub. That's happened to me once or twice.
Fridays?
Yeah.
You pardon. We're talking about video games here. Gosh, that was just too real.
Anyways, Bobby face palmed.
And then you look inside the shower, and the bathtub is there. It's filled with bloody water, and there's a bike turned upside down in it, like a child's bike, and there's water going through the shower, red blood or whatever, going through the shower head. And it's just disturbing. So many disturbing elements that, to me, aren't quite Resident Evil because I'm thinking zombies. But this is just sheer horror. So
did they show any zombies in this yet?
There was one in the bottom, spoilers. When you reach the basement, you get into this, you come into this room where there's nothing but human body bags. Some hanging from the ceiling, some on those what are those hospital beds that people push?
Gurneys.
And you're supposed to pick up an item, and as soon as you walk into the room, a giant. No, it's one of those like, it's one of, it's like the typical Resident Evil monster that comes through the valves. It's just slimy. It's big.
Okay.
It doesn't really have a face, yeah. but it's got like amorphous gaping, a big gaping mouth yeah. and like arms that will swing at you. You can't tell if it's blind or not because it doesn't really have eyes. And I hear you can kill it,
so
but
Fridays.
all I did was run away.
yeah.
no, but it's great. And if you go through the, I do recommend going through and trying to unlock the coin because in order to unlock the coin, you go through a series of events and you actually have to spot a ghost. And okay. there's like 7 different sightings of how, where you can spot the ghost. And it actually took me a good 3 or 4 tries just to spot the ghost.
How long was the demo?
The demo itself, I think I beat in 2.5-3 hours.
That's a big demo.
That's a big demo.
Yeah.
Well, played it that many times?
Well, because, yes, because I had to go back and pick up all the clues.
How long is one playthrough?
One playthrough, probably 45 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's still a good amount of size.
Yeah, for sure.
Bobby,
yeah.
You into this or what?
It looks great, and I like everything about it. My only concern is that there's going to be day one problems with this on release. I think releasing a demo is good because then people can run it, but I feel like this is going to be one of those games that gets released and like everybody has a problem
with
30 frames per second or glitches or something like that. I don't know. I'm so used to that happening with big titles. But I think I'm going to let this go for about a week, see what the verdict is on PC, and then I'll probably get it. But yeah, I've said this so many times, but I've only played one Resident Evil game,
yeah.
and that was the one that everyone tells me is the worst. 5, I believe.
Yeah,
5's pretty bad.
So I would love to play a real Resident Evil game, but I don't want to go back and play the old ones, even like the remastered ones. I want a new, fresh experience, and I want to experience it with everyone else at the same time. So this seems like a great place to hook into the series.
Yeah, cool. For sure.
All right, what do we got next?
She also played, you said you played some Portal. You want to talk about
that? Oh, just very quickly, I actually beat one of the 12 games for this year. Off to a good start. It's the first month. I beat Portal 2, which is actually the shortest game on my list as well.
Knocking them out early.
Yeah, knocking them out. So beat Portal 2. It was so pleasant. If you've never beaten Portal 2 or if you didn't even realize there was a single player campaign, I had forgotten there was a single player campaign because I was only thinking about the co-op with the 2 test robots. But I went back and it was just, it was all entertainment.
Yeah.
It was great nostalgia. It was, you know, like witty banter. And there was so much appeal to even the history and the story and what you unravel about yourself and about the aperture science and everything else.
And I was watching you play this and I was surprised how fun it is to watch somebody think something through.
Yeah.
It's kind of like watching a mouse go through a maze because like and just saying, oh, they're making that choice or whatever, you know.
Uh-huh.
You kind of feel like you're maybe the aperture scientist, like, oh, why would they do that?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's cool. Like, I'd rather watch you play this than like Counter-Strike, just personally.
Yeah, because
I was having a good time watching it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What would you guys say is the better Portal, 1 or 2?
2.
It's hard to say.
It's really hard to say because you got to understand the zeitgeist of the time that this came out. You know, when Portal 1 came out, the thing that was so big about it was nobody really expected this to be any good or to be anything monumental. And it was just like that add-on to the Orange Box. It was like something they threw in there as a side project. I mean, they threw in a game called Ricochet, too. Nobody talks about that shit because it wasn't that great. But they were kind of released, and it was a sleeper hit. And all of a sudden became this huge thing, and everyone was making cake jokes. And
the song was everywhere.
Then, yeah, the song. But then Portal 2 comes out, and there's bus ads for it, and they're promoting it left and right, and everyone's already familiar with Portal. So, I mean, it was already this established entity.
But Portal 2 also succeeded with all those high expectations. Yes, it still succeeded.
I mean, it was a successful game, but in a lot of ways, it felt like more of the same. And I don't know. I'd have to go back and play it to be sure. But I remember making the comment that I feel like the puzzles were not as complicated or original.
I remember that also.
I remember there just being a disparity between two of them. Like, I didn't feel as challenged. Maybe it was because this was my second time through the same thing. But this had way, way more story.
Well,
I mean, the whole arc where, like, the robot talking to you, it slowly turns bad, and the first one was great. I mean, that was classic. But then, mm-hmm. like, the whole backstory thing in the second one with Cave Johnson and all that was incredible, too. So I don't know. That's a real tough call.
Have you played through the two-player campaign, which mm-hmm. is separate from the single?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The only thing that they could add is those paints, right? Those paints were new. The speed yep. paint and the bouncy paint?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all they... I mean, what more can you do? They had already stretched it so far. My brain would... Mm-hmm. You feel broken after playing.
I think it was all tastefully put together mm-hmm. In terms of balancing challenge, story, and just the overall appeal to the game. I felt like it was a good amount of time for what Portal was, because the first Portal game, it was over before you even knew it.
Yeah.
But you still felt like, oh, that was a great experience. Mm-hmm. But when Portal 2 came out, you got story with it this time. You got... there's really, other than the paint, what else could you add that would just make it, you know, endless puzzle game?
Way more of a budget. Like, they put a lot more into it. They really fleshed it out.
A much grander scale, too. In Portal 2, like, there's these gigantic caverns, and you're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool, too. And if you like those two games, play Mel, A Portal Story. Fantastic game. It's a mod, but you can download it. It's free. And it feels...
Half-Life 2 mod, right?
No, it's just used standalone.
Oh, is it a standalone?
But yeah, it's using the Portal 2 engine. I mean, gotcha. It's like, it's as if Valve had made it. It's that good. So check that out. It's called Mel, M-E-L, A Portal Story, I believe.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So, Chi, you also played Depth, the shark.
This is awesome. PvP game. She gets the
time. I actually, when I it burns to talk, to be honest, I can't even breathe through half of my face. So I'm talking all while mouth breathing, by the way.
Goddamn
so,
mouth breather.
So I did have the time to play a new game that I've never played before. And
can you bring it up, Bobby, so I can see what game she's
not
about?
That I Thank like you. To compare games to other games. Actually, I have no problem comparing games to other games. I played Depth, which... People who tried to sell it to me told me it's like Left 4 Dead, but with sharks. I wouldn't necessarily call it Left 4 Dead, but it is a... It's not necessarily a survival game. It's more of a treasure hunting game. And it's Versus. So it's like Versus. Mm-hmm. When you play as 4 scuba divers or treasure hunters, and you follow around Steve, which is this mechanical robot... The underwater robot that will collect your treasure, collect your loot. And when you go underwater, two other players play as sharks, and you can actually...
Well, so it's 4v2 then.
Yeah, so it's 4v2, okay. And as a shark, you can attack the scuba diver, scuba divers to keep them, and you attack Steve to keep them from finishing their treasure hunt.
Oh, okay.
And it is a lot of fun because you go in there with the bare essentials, and then the more that you gather, the more that you can purchase and upgrade your weapons and hold your own against the sharks. You can plant mines, you can buy harpoon guns, and you could do a whole bunch of other things. In fact, you could even repair Steve to elongate your treasure hunting-ness. As a shark, I do not know. I can't. I played about 6 or 7 games, and I was always a scuba diver. I could never be a shark. For some reason, it would just never let me. Hmm. But it was a lot of fun being a scuba diver, because when you would collect treasure, and if you went far away from somebody else, your heartbeat would get quicker. Your heart rate would become... You could hear your heart rate in-game. I'll beat faster when a shark is nearby, and when you're alone, you're vulnerable, because once you get captured by a shark, the most you can do is stab him, and you can't use your weapons, so somebody else virtually has to help you with the shark attack. Otherwise, if you had damaged him enough, you can save yourself. It's definitely, there's some team-based elements to it, because you want to have each other's back. Then again, not everybody's a team player, so you could die by a shark in front of your teammate if they're a horrible shot or anything else. It's fun, but it's one of those like pick up and play. It doesn't have story like Left 4 Dead does or other four player versus, because it is simply a versus game. But it's fun to upgrade.
Do each of you have your own Steve, or
Nope. Steve is just one giant robot. I don't remember what the acronym stands for.
Okay.
But it's just the one robot that you cash all your treasures
okay.
to.
Submersive.
It's a lot of fun because if all six players are, if you're playing with friends, it's a lot of fun because as a shark, you could talk so much crap.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And you could just hear the frustration. It's kind of like a baby version of Evolve where the games don't take forever. And the shark is constantly, almost constantly being aggressive. And so the shark end gets a little bit of something. The scuba diver end gets a little bit of something.
So you get the treasure. Can you use that to upgrade stuff?
Yeah, that's what you do.
And do the shark, I imagine the sharks get
the
points.
The sharks get upgrades too.
Oh, cool. Like lasers on their head?
Yeah. Not quite sure, but possibly.
How is the game won then?
Either the scuba divers, Steve dies. When Steve dies, the sharks win.
Okay.
And when
killing the scuba divers doesn't win you, you get another life. You go back down.
Well, I think they're immobilized.
Right? I haven't played a shark, so I can't say.
Okay.
But I would imagine taking a diver out
would help you kill
Steve.
Yeah.
Right?
So, would increase your chance of destroying the robot. And then as a scuba diver, you just escort Steve until you make it back
That makes sense.
Pick up point.
Cool. So recommend it or?
I would definitely recommend it.
How much was it on sale
very recently. I forgot how much I had paid for it.
I want to say I've seen this pretty cheap.
I bought it for $6.
Yeah.
And
that's what I was going to say.
Full price is $19.99. Only pick it up when it's on sale, in my opinion.
I think
but
you can get a
4-pack
for really cheap, too.
Cool.
Yeah. When I first played this game, when it first came out, it was a lot of fun, but it was so hard to find people to play with. It took me so long to find a game.
Hmm. And you probably went in with your own crew, Chi?
I went in with my own group. So I went in with at least a stack of four.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the two people that still play Depth were all excited because they get to play the shark.
That was a full game.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. It sucks how some of these games are just non-existent if you don't have the community to back them up. I feel like that's a common thread in a lot of games.
Yeah,
that
for sure.
That being said, golf with your friends, I would never probably play ever without people I don't know. But again, this came up again. I played with Rubbernuts, played with Fastidious, played with Flying Hawaiian, Mr. F and Sweet, and most of us were drinking. We played late into the night.
Damn.
Sam woke up, and she's like, why? Like, we were drunk when she went to bed, and there was 9 new beer cans. She's like, how late were you? I was having so much fun. It's just fun. It's almost like being on a miniature golf course. And
is there VR support for that game?
I don't think so. It's not very robust.
How's the gameplay? Is it simple?
Super simple.
Do you get upgrades or do you have an avatar?
Super simple.
You don't even see yourself. You just see your ball and like you just shoot.
So it really is just miniature golf with the ball. That's it.
Yeah. That's it. And
but
you can play at the same time.
That's the best part in this game is you play at the same time.
See how they're all going at the same time?
Your balls can't touch each other?
But you can set that. Jeff.
Oh, you
can't? All these new things.
Your balls can't touch each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine always do, but...
Yeah.
It's not gay if your balls
But you can change the shape
other.
Of it.
It's true. Jeff.
You can give everybody little pyramids instead of balls, so it's like bouncing all crazy. you can put collision. You can change the color of your balls. It's awesome. It's just...
A lot of ball talk today.
It's like
the color and the orientation.
It's like a hangout for everybody to talk, because you don't have to talk about the game, but...
You don't even have to look at your friend's face.
It's like real golf. You know, the actual act of golfing is half of the act.
Yeah.
You know, it's more about the camaraderie and social aspect.
We didn't invite FigSec.
Social or sexually.
Fastidious makes a good point. You can be completely blasted and still play this game because even with one eye open, you can still try to like make out the shot and stuff. So it is a good
game.
Although
I did come in last at the last game when I was the worst.
You lost to me too when we played together. So I think there's a trend, a theme going on.
I was getting
here?
Blown at the time. I was
okay.
Yeah, distracted. I went from
apparently.
Star Wars pinball to Alien pinball, and it's even better than Star Wars. So
mobile corner. Boop, 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 boop,
yeah. So that's on Google Play. I don't know if it's on iStore or whatever. Anyway, I'm really enjoying it. There's one called Aliens. It goes through all the scenes of the movie. Like you start off and you have the car and you're driving in and then you meet Newt and you got to save her. It's awesome. Really, really cool.
Does your fun, you know, having pinball on a mobile make you want to play pinball on the computer, or is it just you're just having fun on the mobile?
I'd rather play Everspace.
Okay, fair enough.
For sure. And there's another one called Alien vs. Predator, and it's based on the movie, and it's really fun, too. Really good boards.
Cool. Yep. Are you paying money for these ones?
Well, Google Play gave me $10 for Christmas, just for free.
Oh, nice.
And so they're $2 each, and I just spent it all on pinball games.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've played some pinball because I love pinball, so I've tried some mobile ones, and all the ones that I've tried, which were free, are just garbage. And so I imagine you have to pay for
the good ones.
The good ones. And it all comes down to the ball action. If the ball physics isn't good, the game is not good.
It feels real to me.
It's got to feel like it's got weight. Bobby's...
The balls feel like I need to have...
Bobby's getting sleepy, so...
We're talking a lot of balls on here, but you know what I mean? Like, if it feels, like, not heavy and it's just, like, bouncing around, it doesn't feel accurate. But if it's too heavy and it won't bounce at all, it doesn't feel right either.
I mean, if you want to get into some ball detail, when, like, there's no sounds and it's just rolling down
the board... Let's talk balls.
When there's no sounds... And no sounds are playing, and the ball's rolling down the board, and it has that identical sound as it does in real life.
The
deep roll. Man, it's an intoxicating sound. I love it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll buy one of these. You tell me the one I should buy, and I will buy one and give it a go.
Cool.
All right. Well, I think that does it for highlights and lowlights. The next section, listener questions, I think we're going to rename this to just like community spotlight or community focus, just kind of what's going on in the DL gaming community, because we've got a few things we want to bring up. Two or three episodes ago, we talked about games that we had forgotten about, games that we had played when we were really young, and we can't remember the names of them, and no matter how much Google searching we did, we cannot find these games. And we put it out there to the DL gaming community, not expecting any answers, but lo and behold, we got two.
Nice.
First one, the game that I brought up that I had played when I was very, very young, because apparently this game came out in 1994, I believe. Was a weird... I barely gave any details describing it. I said it looked like this game on Steam called Outcast, which is also an old game, and it was a fixed camera game where... And it was in a sci-fi universe where you were a character walking around, and every time you walked to a different area, the camera angle would change. And somehow, out of that vague description, Flying Hawaiian was able to find the game Siberia. And that I couldn't believe it when he
with
showed me
C.
that game. I looked it up. Siberia with the C. I looked it up. That was the fucking game. Somehow he did it. He had played this game back in 94. And here's the funny thing. He awoke a new memory in my mind. He had the exact same problem I did, where you get to a certain part in this game and the game just crashes or locks up. It wouldn't get past that. The game ran like shit. And it was just such a trip to watch a YouTube video. This apparently this game is available on GOG.com, Good Old Games.
I wonder if it still has that crash.
No. No, I did not buy it. It's $6. I'll probably grab it when it's on sale, just, you know, and like for 5 minutes, just get all nostalgic and then be over it. But yeah, so props to him. He found it. And we had someone else crack a case, too.
Yeah, Figsec found Holy War. It's not too hard to find, you know, it's a PS2 title.
So it was PS2? Because
Or PS1. I don't know. It looked like a PS1 title.
Okay.
And it was exactly the game they were talking about. And I showed it all to Chad and I showed it to Jason, and everybody was like, yeah, classic. Like, it's just fucking, it just brings back memories.
Holy War, yeah.
But then when you see the graphics, you're like, holy fuck, did it look that bad?
Yeah, it did. We played the shit out of that game, I believe.
Holy War, for the PS1?
I believe so. There it is, in all its glory.
The Unholy War?
Unholy War.
The okay. Unholy War.
You guys still don't get it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shitty title.
It's
a proto MOBA is what it is. Basically, you have the different characters, and it's, you know, you're trying to
they have different advantages with each other. I do have a question for Chi. Last week I asked the other guys this question, so now I'm asking it to you since you're here. We had some conversations in our Discord channels about naming your PC, naming your rig.
Oh.
And so we asked each other. Emilio doesn't really have one, but he calls his footstool. I call mine the cube since I got a new cube case. Bobby had a whole thing about radioactive stuff going on or something.
Tezuka is the problem.
It's not a name. It's a series of numbers.
The conundrum.
Yours is a series of numbers?
No. I was joking about Bobby.
Yeah.
My rig having a name?
Yeah. Do you call it something?
Yeah, I call it my baby.
Your baby?
I talk about my PC, I'm like, that's my child.
Big second
reason. It's like, that's the only thing I've ever created and brought into this earth and loved so much more than anything else. My child, my baby.
It's funny though. You love it so much, but if somebody were to give you like a top tier PC, you just throw it out in the trash.
I would not do that. I still hold, like, I actually donate my older rigs to other members of the family.
Nice.
And so it stays in the family, and and then
and you can go by and pet it whenever you can.
Exactly. I just know that it's in good hands, whatever, but yeah, I call my computer is my baby.
That's good. I like that answer.
Yeah. So it's funny because it's funny that you mentioned that, because whenever I move, I always strap my computers in the back, and just my two towers in the back seat, and then I put the seatbelt over them, and I put the child safety on, and I'm just like, oh, we're all safe, we're good to go. Okay.
Nice. I do the same thing.
Yeah, I think I moved like three times in the course of 2 years, and I had to do that a couple times. I'm like, oh, my baby, don't drop her.
Was that your
kill
question?
You? Don't shoot.
Yeah, that was it. That was my question to you.
Cool. Yeah.
What's the HGC? That's hard to say.
Human... Well, we are done with the community. I don't know what we're going to call this. Just. The community focus.
The community focus.
Good
okay.
But I just want to go through kind of what's been happening at Discord, some of the feedback / questions / comments that we've been getting. Just going through it real quick. Figsack is calling me out for not being too active on Discord. I feel like I improved this week.
Yeah, it's
around
a bit.
I was around.
Awesome.
Even typed a few things. I lurk a lot on Discord. Like, I just read everything that everyone puts up there, but I rarely type. So I think I kind of considered myself more active on Discord than a lot of people thought I was. Zap actually mentioned that he had played and completed Valhalla, that cyber action bartender game I was talking about last week, and he says it's a pretty good story. So that is encouraging me to continue playing that. And
good, yeah, excellent, good job, Zap.
Now, Jen's had a suggestion that we've already filled here. He said we should make another text channel for Discord for any questions and suggestions. Chad, you're on top of that?
Yep, I added a text channel called Suggestions and Questions on our Discord channel. So if you want to ask something specifically to us, you can go to that text channel and list it off. And let's try to keep it a little clean, guys, if we can. So just keep it to questions and suggestions.
Or if you want us to talk about it on the show.
Somewhat.
We don't have very high standards.
Yeah. But. And then somebody, Pinful, asked if we could add one just for really off topic stuff. And so I added a new text channel called Dankest of Memes Only. So that one's there if you want to send pictures and memes and whatever. So there you go.
Yep. All right. And then we got a shout out from Darius Sotra. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Said he started listening a couple weeks ago. No, the Arma 3 episode. That's when we had Lab Monkey.
Yep.
And
I took a picture of Bobby when he was checking out. When he's in the background of
you didn't even put it in the right one. I just went over explaining how the Dankest of Memes Only.
Nobody cares about that.
Okay. My bad. Continue, Bobby.
All right. So he's giving us a shout out. Said he started listening on that Arma 3 episode.
Welcome.
Join the podcast. So welcome to the crew.
Welcome.
And,
we encourage new guys to be on there and say hi and say I'm new, and we'll give you a shout out.
Exactly. And I would like to thank anyone who's actually dropped by my live stream and said hello as well. I have major ADHD when I'm streaming. So if I'm being rude and I overlook you saying hello, I apologize. Yeah. But for those who have come by my stream and actually said, hey, I listen to DLG, I appreciate that.
Cool. That's the...
I see the picture that you put in there, Emilio. Yeah. That should go under the memes, but yeah. we'll allow it.
That was cool.
Yeah, we got a bunch of other mentions in there, just people looking for other people to play games with. So if you're looking for someone to co-op any game with, check out the Discord. Great place to find some people.
Cool.
All right.
The news?
HGC.
HGC, Heroes Global Championship, has finally started. So this is
nice.
The league format. Have they started this with Overwatch yet?
I don't think so.
So I haven't heard anything. I don't follow it that much, but I was just wondering if they had. It is awesome. Like, they've set it up with what I assume is Heroes Global Championship.
Championship.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's the league format where teams are going to be playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 9 o'clock to, like, whenever they finish, which is usually about 9 o'clock at night. They're doing the European games first, and they do the North American games, just pretty much 12 hours, 10 to 12 hours of competitive play, 3 days a week. It's incredible. This has been the first weekend. Thoroughly enjoying it.
Sorry.
Okay, sorry. Got distracted there.
Yeah, my bad.
But it's nice with Heroes to actually see the competitive side, because then we can all... there's a huge break, and when there's a huge break in competitive play, like, everyone's trying to figure out everything on their own without being told, like, oh, this is what the pros are doing, this is how I should be building this character, this is who I should be picking, so... finally, I feel like we're getting some rock-solid information there. But the way that they set this up is what I assume football is like. Like, they got two people at the desk that are doing the play-by-play, the commentary during the game. Then they cut to them at the end of it for, like, a replay and some analyzing. And they run a few commercials here and there. It's coming off very professional, very clean. I really like what they're doing.
Is there a place to VOD it? I love watching these esports stuff, but I hate watching them live because I never catch the full thing.
Yeah.
So I love doing them on VOD so I can watch the whole thing.
Ghost in my Gamers, but also YouTube. And what's awesome, that what someone mentioned on Reddit that they're doing on YouTube, is if a team goes to 5 games, they do something on YouTube. Like, say the game is only, it's best out of 5. So say someone goes 3-0 and wins the series, and they take
it. Oh, yeah, they make fake ones for
form. They make fake ones, yeah. They make fake ones, so you can't tell while you're watching who is going to win. So
that's
really smart.
That's why I like Gosu, because you can mark in the search box, you can mark first game only, and then you'll just see all the games, and then once you go in there, it shows all 5, but if you go click on 4, then it'll say this game didn't occur. And so you can start with 1, watch 1, and then click on 2, watch 2.
So, Bobby, this is like Thursday night football and Sunday night football and shit like that, right? Like something you can schedule, like, this is part of my week.
It's awesome, but it also sucks because my weekend is like my most coveted, or like my most prized time. Like, it's when I get to game. It's when I get things done outside of work, like any sort of errands that I have to do. So it's already very packed. And to add this on top of it, it's like, fuck, do I want to play or do I want to watch esports? I kind of do both, but then both of them suffer, you know? Can't split it.
That's why you bought them. Because then you can be there in your office at 4 in the afternoon and just
catch up on
games.
It's not like anybody's going to spoil these matches for you.
Yeah.
Well, he's got his club at school.
Is that still going on, Bobby?
Oh, yeah, that's happening.
Cool. Is it growing or what is it?
It's been about the same. I still got about 20 kids in
the
club.
Not bad.
For those of you who don't know, I work at a middle school, and different people do lunch clubs. So it's a way for kids to, like, you know, if they have a common interest, it's there for them to, like, meet other kids, and also provides a place for them to eat lunch. So I run
and not
the
get beat
e-sports.
Up by the bullies because they all watch esports.
I got some nerds in there, but I'm not gonna go into too much detail on some of these kids. There's still one girl in there.
Nice.
But a lot of boys, a lot of younger kids too, mostly sixth grade. But the big ones they want to see are, of course, Overwatch, Counter-Strike, a little bit of League, but not so much. I showed them Dota the other day. Like, I was like, nope, today we're watching Dota. I'm making the call. And I was surprised how many of them had no idea what that game was.
They're really?
Like, wow. Oh, I get it. It's like League. I'm like, you've never heard of Dota before? I was blown away. I played HOTS for them one time, and they were like, oh, cool, that's Zarya from Overwatch. Like, that's all I could get out of them. They're fanatical about Overwatch, though. Like, in case you're wondering, 90% of Overwatch players are 12-year-old boys.
I already figured that out.
Yeah.
But
Have you thought about changing your lesson plan to learning what Dota 2 and who Lord Gaben is?
Oh, man.
Teaching a religion.
These kids love memes.
So how many weeks is HEC going on? I'm assuming they're doing seasons. This will be like a couple weeks, and then
they've got
some tournament.
They have
the
like
end.
A brawl in the middle, which is just like I think between all the North American teams, or maybe it's like between North America and Europe. And then they have like the championship, which is going to be between everybody. And then they have open divisions where people can qualify to get in. It's very complex the way that it's set up, but it's just and so much content and consistent.
This was week one.
Yeah, this is just
okay. So this is the time to jump in.
Just getting
catch
started.
Up on some VODs, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you can or Thursday. What was it? Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every weekend.
And to let you know how exciting these games have been, Bobby and I were in the middle of a mobile match where we're getting trounced, and he's going
nice spin.
Ooh, fuck! And I was like, well, we're getting our asses kicked, and he's like, no, these games that I'm watching are just so intense. That happened.
Wait, verbally, you're talking about Battleborn.
Yeah, we were playing Battleborn, but your vocal...
and he still whooped your ass on DPS. Yeah. How's that working out?
I know.
The fuck? Cool. Should we get into some news?
Yep. Let's talk news. So there was an AMA, an Ask Me Anything on Reddit with Gabe.
Yeah.
Yes.
She was there live.
I was there live.
Did he answer any of your questions?
No, but I did ask a couple. But thank you so much for whomever posted that on Discord. I actually was able to catch that live and now suffer from an acute case of dyslexia. Lots of F5 spamming. And
wow.
I was also cooking at the same time. So I was, and then I was eating and reading. It was a great AMA. If you guys didn't know, Gaiman did do an AMA. What day was it?
Don't know.
Exactly.
They brought it up and everyone was talking about it in
Discord. I think it was Tuesday.
Yeah,
and it started at 3:00 Pacific time. And I think within the first, like, the 10 minutes before starting, I saw how many users were on. It was on the Lord, was it Lord Gaiman or The Gaiman?
I don't know.
Subreddit?
It wasn't the AMA subreddit. It was a different one.
That's kind of cool.
And over 11,000 users were there 10 minutes before it started.
Holy shit.
So it was huge. And within the first minute or two, it got over 1,000 upvotes. So it was huge.
What were the big questions that were
coming out? I got a couple highlights.
There are a couple... there were some big questions, of course, and they had very strict rules on, you know, don't spam Half-Life 3
obviously
questions.
Going to be people asking about Half-Life 3.
No questions about politics.
He wasn't going to answer any of that.
Somebody did ask, are there going to be more games coming out that take advantage of the IP for Half-Life in the Portal universe? And he said, yes, definitely. So that was one of the things he mentioned. They asked him, like, what's his personal favorite Valve game? And he said Portal 2 for single player and Dota 2 is for multiplayer. And then...
And he plays Dota 2.
Yes, he does. Hmm. And somebody asked about there's movies coming out by Valve and J.J. Abrams. He said, yes, they're still coming, which I found interesting because I didn't even know that they were doing that.
Did you know we talked about it.
Did we?
Yep.
One of the questions is why isn't Valve as responsive as other developers as far as what's coming out and everything like that? And he basically said he kind of sidestepped the issues, but basically he said that Valve is okay scrapping things late in the development cycle, and what they don't want to happen is that they start announcing things and get people excited or whatever, and then they end up scrapping it. You know,
so that's understandable.
And the other thing too is you get influenced by the people, and they don't know what you know. You're not going to get the original idea out.
And it's funny that you say that it's not their original idea or anything. When I was reading his AMA, he actually regrets Half-Life. Like he said that there was so much interconnected decision making on his behalf. Portal 2 was the better game for his better choice for a game because he was less involved.
Yeah, he said he was too deep into Half-Life, and so you got to make choices when you're developing these games. And all he sees in Half-Life are the regrets from the different choices he's made. So
he's a perfectionist, huh?
I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
An interesting question that somebody asked if they're doing anything with Source 2 in the coming years, and if so, what? He said they're continuing to do it. They moved Dota 2 over to it, and they're announcing some more unannounced projects. They're going to use it for some unannounced projects. He also said, we also intend to continue to make this Source 2 engine work available to the broader development community as we go, and to make it available free of charge. So
it has been, though.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I did read his answer to the Is Left 4 Dead 3 coming out question, and it was so vague, so elusive.
He's talking about other stuff.
Yeah. It was a Left 4 Dead 3 question, and all he talked about was Team Fortress 2.
I imagine him being very vague and evasive all the time, because I listened to a two-part interview with him on the Nerdist podcast years ago. They did the first interview, and then Chris Hardwick went back because, as he explained at the beginning of the episode, he felt like he didn't ask any of the questions that the listeners wanted to hear. He basically went in there and, like, Gabe just, like, kind of rode around, and, like they just ended up bullshitting for about an hour, just kind of talking about shit that nobody really cared about. So he went back and kind of tried to ask some of the harder-hitting questions, and still it was like he got nothing. Pretty lame. Yeah, it was very political. So I imagine when I heard about the AMA, I'm like, why would he even do that? And, like, there's not going to be any interesting information that comes out of that.
The last one I wanted to bring up, somebody asked about pornographic content and if that would ever be possible on or uncensored stuff on Steam. And he kind of sidestepped that question, but he said there are two problems to solve. The first is a completely uncurated distribution tool for developers. The second is a tool set for customers that allow them to find and filter content that's best for them. So I think they're still trying to figure out what's the best thing. Steam still seems like they're looking to evolve it.
Well, Lord Gaben works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
He also speaks in mysterious ways.
That's true.
So he also likes his steaks prepared medium rare, just in case.
Wow. That's the right way to do it.
I asked him how he liked his coffee. He never answered me. So.
Ooh. The correct answer is two sugar, one cream.
Getting to the real questions, real talk. Did anyone ask you how much you weighed? Because that's got to be triple digits.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, yeah.
300.
Yeah, 300.
All right, so earlier I was talking about how Resident Evil is coming out in just a couple of days, and also in just a couple of days for the Chinese New Year, Overwatch is coming out with a Lunar New Year's patch.
Nice.
They haven't fully released the details of what is to come, but there has been enough leaked content in regards to skins.
So it wasn't announced, it was leaked?
It was leaked. Hmm. The skins were leaked. And I think they announced that they are having a New Year's patch, but not leaking any information in regards to, like, different arcade modes and whatnot.
Yeah. You know, this makes sense because HOTS every year, Heroes of the Storm, every year does the Lunar event where they have new skins and they have an in-game event. So I'm not surprised.
So is this a full one with skin loot boxes and stuff?
Yes, I would imagine it's just like the
Halloween one.
Halloween and everything else. I did see one skin. I saw the May skin because everybody said they were looking forward to see what May was wearing after the whole fiasco with the winter skin. And the May skin is, of course, it being the Chinese New Year, May being the Chinese girl in the video game, she's going to be the...
Right now, I thought she was Japanese.
May is Chinese. Oh, she's speaking in Chinese.
I have no idea.
Are you serious?
Yeah, sorry.
May is a Chinese name?
You don't understand. You can't hear the difference between
you all
Chinese.
Look the same.
Okay, so what is Hanzo? Is Hanzo and Genji?
Well, they're Japanese, obviously.
What about D.Va?
Korean.
Okay.
Boom.
You know what's funny? When I played Street Fighter when I was a kid, I was like, oh, yeah, Ryu. He's a white guy.
He looks so white. Yeah.
Well, because you think they say they're brothers,
you're
right?
A young white kid in the suburbs, you think everybody's white, obviously.
And they put them like brothers, don't they?
It's white guy if you pronounce his name Ryu. It's Japanese guy if you pronounce his name Ryu.
But he looked like a white guy.
I don't know if I ever told anybody, or I told this story on this on the podcast, but I was right out of high school, I was dating a Japanese girl, and her dad was like straight from Japan and like strong accent and everything, and I was so into Street Fighter at the time, and one time I was like, ask your dad what, because I had just found out, I, you know, this is there was no Google. So you heard shit on the street, yep. and then you verified it with old Japanese men. So I found out that Ryu meant dragon and Ken meant punch. So Ryu Ken is dragon punch. Show Ryu Ken is true dragon punch. Anyway, so I was like, ask your dad what dragon means or what Ryu means. And then she goes, you know, in Japanese, she goes, blah, 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 Ryu. And then he's like, oh, I do not know this word. And I was like, oh, fuck, man, these guys lied to me. So I'm walking out of the door. Like, I remember turning my back and I'm walking. And I was like, oh, man, that sucks. And he goes, wait, could it mean dragon? And I was like, oh, shit.
So did you ask about Ken? Does Ken mean punch?
That was enough. Like, oh, I was man. So stoked at that point.
But now we do have Google. We can look that up later.
There is a leaked image of about 6 skins for the...
Do they look cool or not?
I thought it was probably fake, so I didn't really look at it. And it was, like, not high-res pictures, so...
Okay.
Maybe... None of those, Bobby. It was like... Oh, there it is. On the left, second column. That red poster. Yeah. I think that was it. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, very Chinese stuff.
Cool. I'm down with that. I like that style of art and all, so...
I played maybe... 10 games in the Christmas one, and I got the Nutcracker skin.
Stop it, because I never got the Nutcracker skin. I should have bought some boxes.
I got a skin. I got a legendary skin and my 5 free ones, but it was like Tracer's elf skin or something like that.
Yeah. And finally, this is all over the news. PC gamers are very happy about PC gaming hardware hitting $30 billion for the first time. That's a lot of goddamn money.
$30 billion sold this year on PC gamer hardware.
Hardware, yeah.
And what constitutes PC gaming hardware versus just PC hardware?
Anything that's, you know, focused towards gaming.
A graphics card could graphics be gaming card. Or it could be, you know, video editing.
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know. But okay. It wasn't, cool enough. It wasn't a gaming article. This is an outside... a finance company that looks into things and why investors should look at this. JP Morgan did this thing.
Okay.
So anyway, they looked at how much they made, why they made it, and all this stuff. And here's what I found super interesting. So mid-range does make up the majority, which is what you would think, right? So they make up 35%. High-end makes up 43%. Or actually, doesn't 35 is not the
nope.
Yeah. 43 is the most with the high end.
I wonder what they consider high end.
I don't know anything. Yeah, know, the top 33%, I would imagine, in price.
Okay,
and then the entry level is only 22%. So what I liked about this and what was startling about this is companies are going to look at this and then say, okay, obviously we got to make bleeding edge because that's where the money is, right?
Yeah,
I would imagine.
True.
Focus more on the bleeding edge. Other stuff that I found interesting, there's multiple, here it is. Oh, it's JPR analysis. There's multiple factors, including the distance from the display that we're getting, that PC gamers get more out of their HD and UHD screens because we're so much closer to the screen.
Oh, gotcha.
Than console players. The superior control from mouse and keyboard. This has been validated with esports overwhelmingly being played on PCs, because how are you going to compete?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, those are the highlights that I thought were pretty interesting.
Where do you find the article?
Everywhere. I put in PC Gaming News and Google like I always do, and this was the top 4 stories.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty big right now.
Cool.
Yeah. So I think that's it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a wrap.
Wow, that cut off suddenly. Like Sam's adventure in the bedroom this afternoon.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Mid thrust. Chad's like, hey, I'm shouting. Podcast.
Hey, we got a podcast.
Kill.
And I was like, later, bitch.
Oh, my gosh.
It was something like that. Yeah. So, anyway, speaking for Chi, Chad.
We don't want to talk about what we're playing next week or anything like that. Should we set up prior to us leaving when we are actually going to play Saturday or Sunday? With the listeners?
I don't know.
It's
going to
change each week.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. This week. Can we set it up?
Saturday daytimes I'm available. Sunday nights I'm
okay. Tell you what, you guys. Available. Pay attention to the Discord channel. We'll talk and figure out some time to play either Saturday or Sunday.
A lot of new fresh faces on Discord. Welcome. One of the guys was saying, like, oh, me and my friends on my Discord, all they want to do is play Overwatch. I came over here, and I've been having so much fun because there's so many people playing so many different things. And that's what you can come
to. The best is when you're, like, on... When you're in the Discord and on the right hand side, you can see all everybody's playing.
Yeah.
And if like Cricket Soldier's playing Rust right now, I'd be like, oh shit, I should play Rust and just hit him up and say, can
it'll
I play with
you? It'll also show, and I looked into the stream kit for Discord, but it'll also say, like, this person is streaming this game, not playing, but streaming this game. And then you can
Does that work for me? Have you seen it? With, show that?
Well, you might have to have the stream kit installed. I'm not sure. But you can link the chat because when I load up OBS, Discord will automatically recognize that and go into stream mode. So I think it does even without the stream kit.
Cool.
And for Bobby, big white milky lunar tits, everyone.